building trust is key to business success. That's why we're talking about the sneaky shit. And welcome to Across the Desk. I am back with my good friend Marguerite Zimmerman, owner of E equals MZ squared.
Hi, Elizabeth. It's great to be back.
We're both so bone doggy tired that this is slightly inauthentic because we're exhausted. But we are excited to be back for Sneaky Shit Podcast number four or five.
Cool.
So excited. So the Sneaky Shit Podcast is all about the six principles of influence and what those can mean for your business. And we focus on business because we're business women and that's what we do. And the six principles of influence, just to give you a quick overview, because we're going to jump right in, involve social proof, reciprocity, consistency, scarcity, authority, and likability. And today, the scenario that we're going to be talking about is that of win-win, which means different things to different people. But my wonderful expert here, Marguerite, is going to talk about how the six principles of influence can come into play in a win-win situation. So before we jump in too far, if somebody's listening for the first time, tell them what you do.
Ah, thank you. Yes, we have, we, E equals MZ squared, thank you very much. E equals MZ squared is in the business of helping people to improve communication. We focus on the B2B sales arena primarily, but at the end of the day, we've developed over 30 core principles that when combined together help us to be more effective in our communication. And we've built an online simulation platform to help people to learn new habits and behaviors and new skills and embed them and bring them to mastery.
So another lingo to use with that is that you have gamified the sales training process.
We have.
So that people can repeat the sales training over and over again. So if you were a fan of, you know, Frogger or whatever, this is for you. And what I really love, because you just demonstrated a great one to me, is that it's real life situations.
Yes.
And then the feedback is immediate, and you also provide personal coaching and all that good stuff. So
we do.
So she's a good expert to have talking about this. And then, you know, if you don't know me, you'll find out about me later. So today we're going to kick off and we're going to talk about win-win, which is something that you hear a lot in the business world, but a lot of people don't necessarily know what it actually means and what could be at play. I mean, I know I always go to the table transparent and assume, and we all know what assume does to us, that the other person is as well. But we know that's not always the case. So can you talk a little bit about what win-win means?
Yeah, absolutely. So in a traditional sense of negotiation, like if you're in a labor situation, we think of win-win as being two parties coming to the table, both trying to get the most they can from the in that labor dispute or in that negotiation. And the perception has always been and the mindset around negotiation is that both parties have to compromise in order to get to the best, you know, balance, if you will, or the best agreement between the two parties. So the challenge when you're negotiating is that in any negotiation, there's always somebody at the table who has, there's this balance going on between fear and hope. Okay, and when there's fear and hope at the table, it's the person who believes they have the most to gain and the least to lose that believes they have more leverage.
But believing doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
No, but it would be typically that they have the most to gain, least to lose, I have more leverage because I don't care as much if I walk away.
Oh, that's, okay, yeah.
Right?
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right? So most to gain, least to lose. And in that situation, there's a perception I have more leverage. So everything about negotiation is how do I get leverage? And then if I'm in that scenario, how do I get a true win-win? So when we think of a relationship, a long-term relationship, and we think about sales or
business relationship, not getting married.
Well, it could be there too. But if we're talking about an account, you know, as an example, having an account that you deal with a customer, and we're talking about a win-win, a true win-win, we don't want to think about compromise. Because when you go away and you've compromised, you just never quite feel like you got the best
deal
and what you really wanted. So what we're really talking about in a in a selling environment or a customer vendor environment, is we're really talking about really creating value for each other and each individual feeling that they got, you know, really good, you know, equitable outcomes from that interaction.
Right.
So that is measured in different ways because different things mean different, you know, we all have different mindsets as to what makes something a good interaction. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that can help you to know if you're really truly getting, you know, an equitable outcome. And some of that would be, has the individual truly solved the problem for you or the opportunity? So at the end of the day, you know, a good measurement is, how are you going to feel tomorrow, 6 months from now, a year from now? Are you going to feel that you kind of got the wool pulled over your eyes? Or are you going to feel
never like, good?
Never good. So, you know, if you walk away and you feel like you just got taken, you already know it wasn't a true win-win. So it's really all about that, you know, am I really getting my problem solved? You know, getting, you know, really getting something from it. And is the other individual also, because, you know, there can be a lack of a win-win for both the vendor and for the seller.
Yeah.
So I've seen some really bad, you know, situations between vendors and the salesperson, where the salesperson got the short end of the stick, and it happens more often than you think.
We're gonna jump to examples of that because, you know, I mean, you've worked with hundreds of companies in a variety of industries, and I'm sure you've seen, you know, I can't even imagine some of the stuff you've seen or heard. But one of the things that we discussed before, was both parties seeing value in the arrangement.
Yes.
During the negotiation. So that's huge. And regardless of who has the leverage, you know, I'm not in a compromise way, but if the other person has what I need, mm-hmm. you know, that leverage isn't such a bad thing from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tables will turn at some point. I don't mean that in a muhahaha way, but mm-hmm. there's always a difference. And then you had mentioned about both feeling like the solution is good for both.
Yes.
So that would we say at that point that what truly defines a win-win are those things, the problem or, and I love how you said solves an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard it put that way before. I love that.
Well, because sometimes you're not going in to solve a problem. You're actually looking at something that will bring them somewhere that maybe they haven't seen that they could take themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're looking to bring research, knowledge, information, and or make them aware of something.
Slightly. I'm just reading Peter Drucker's Entrepreneurship and Innovation, which I didn't think I would enjoy, but it's kind of crazy how I'm enjoying it. And he references that. He talks about the fact that businesses can be made or lost by how they see opportunity.
Yes.
And, you know, I think there's tons of different examples, but not being willing to see something from a different perspective and embrace the unexpected success and opportunity that comes with it can be the undoing of any win-win situation.
Huge.
You know, be Huge. Open to the fact that somebody sitting across the table from you might see a new or different, you know, not disparaging your product or service, but
a new or different way to get there.
Yeah. If they can, you know, provide mm-hmm. you with a new way to mm-hmm. hit a new market, much like we talked about earlier.
That's right.
Then, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Get off your agenda. So one of the things I'd like to cover is what people might not realize are how the principles of influence can be at play during a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get into why we're here.
Oh, okay.
Because the sneaky shit of the... So describe what principles might be at play during a win-win situation, regardless of positive or negative, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a bit, actually. So the first thing is, in a negotiation, there's always three... Within a negotiation, there's a couple of principles. So when we're negotiating, we really have three things that give us leverage. So one of those is the power that we have at the table. So it's back to that balance of hopes and fears.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is time. It's an indicator. It's an
meaning
aspect
like when do you
leverage.
Need
when you need it
when you need it solved.
You need it in a hurry, or maybe or
so is your urgency my emergency, or
yeah, or maybe I don't need it at all. So therefore, you have less power.
Oh, because there's no urgency to me solving that problem.
Exactly.
So deadlines.
Right, and then in a small way, time. You know, everything in a relationship is a negotiation. All even little things like when you phone me, do I give you time? There's a negotiation.
Or do you go to voicemail?
Or do you go to voicemail, even though I see, you know, who you are calling, right? So it all comes down to how much power, the leverage that you're getting out of information and time.
That's Adam Grant's Give and Take. Have you read that?
No.
There might be a lot of books coming up here, sorry. But Adam Grant's Give and Take talks about being a giver, a taker, and a matcher.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up, oh no, it might have been Orrin Claff. It was Orrin Claff, Pitch Anything. Sorry,
Pitch
I read
Anything,
a lot.
Yep.
Amazing book. But he talks about how in negotiations, mm-hmm. striving for a win-win, people will use time as a weapon. So they will mm-hmm. intentionally, to create greater leverage than they might have, keep you waiting or reschedule at the last minute.
100%.
Or all of these things. And Orrin Claff's Pitch Anything book says, if that happens, that your response must be, I'm sorry, but this is my only opportunity to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or after 15 minutes of being kept waiting,
mm-hmm.
I have another appointment. We need to reschedule. So that it's all about restoring that balance
of power.
So these nasty little
yes. so it
tricks.
All, it all comes down to leverage. And that's some sneaky stuff that people do.
We're
right?
going to get into that.
I
never even... Anyway, yeah, sorry, I always have revelations with you.
There you go. But it's all kinds of really interesting things that, are present when you talk about power, information, and time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both at a strategic level or at a tactic level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about then how do we utilize those. So that then rolls into some of those actual principles of influence. So we can start talking about how do some of those play into helping us to be able to succeed as a society, win, have a negotiation win with a customer or a vendor. And then on the flip side, we'll then talk about how they can, be used against you.
And right? how you should be looking for those
times when they're used
against
you.
Yeah, I'm so bad. And, here you go. So if you want to become a client of mine, it's really easy to... I don't ever walk into a situation with a hidden agenda. Which is right. one thing we're going to talk about. I don't ever assume the other person is trying to hoop me.
And you can't. And here's why. In any relationship, there has to be trust.
Yes.
And for there to be trust, somebody has to trust first.
Yes.
So somebody has to.
I know, but I'm always
trust.
The goof. That's anyway.
But then we have to look for things that are patterns that tell us whether that confirm that we should continue trusting them.
That's yes. You mentioned that before in one of the in the trustworthy
one, or things that tell us not to continue to
right.
trust them, right? And a lot of times, also listen to your gut. That instinctive gut feeling that says something.
Yeah, you're not necessarily hungry.
Right. That's true. Not the hungry gut. The gut that says something doesn't feel right. Gut.
But sometimes people confuse that. To be completely honest, they try and
they do a great job
and rationalize that. That niggling feeling, that saying run, they rationalize it away.
Oh, we all have.
And don't listen to it. And then the win-win situation just went out the window.
Yeah,
so,
we all do it. It's really important to stop and listen to it. If there's something that doesn't feel right.
Pause.
Pause and step back, right?
Yeah. And it's not, so we were just talking about using time as a weapon and taking that time to pause is not a weapon. It's not a tactic. It's not an anything. It's a protective measure. So that you can evaluate the situation if you feel it going sideways and come back to the table more refocused and more aware.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with stepping back, because if there's really a good value and win-win between that in that relationship,
it'll come back.
Like,
yeah. So the six principles that would be at play
around a negotiation,
yeah.
I really see, now they all play, but I'm going to talk about the ones that can be used,
the strongest,
good or bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they all play, so I'll give you an example. So somebody presents themselves as an authority, and they present themselves as the expert, and they might truly be the expert in that particular, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
They might be full of caca.
Well, they could be a real expert in, as an example, they're the absolute best expert in a particular aspect of IT. But then the question is, when you get down to what it is that you need and what it is you're trying to accomplish,
right.
is what they have really what you need? Or are they selling you on this idea despite there being a true outcome for you that meets your goals.
So, are they dazzling with poppycock?
Dazzling you with the whatever, right? Or, you know, the new shiny bauble or whatever it might be.
Right.
And then the unfortunate thing is, because they're the authority, you bought into it and you believe their recommendation, perhaps because they are an authority, right?
Which is now influencing the win-win situation, because you're not truly getting the solution that you need. You just don't realize it yet.
That's correct. Now, we have to be cautious to your earlier point that there's this whole aspect of bringing people a new way of thinking and a new perspective. But at the end of the day, you need to know what it is you're trying to accomplish and will this actually get me there, right? And then if it gets me there, then I've got to win.
Right.
So you know, you can obviously talk about how authority can be used for the positive, right? Because as an authority, you're going to trust, if you have a good relation, you know, the right relationship with the right integrity behind it, you're going to be able to trust in what they're presenting to you, and that's going to help towards the negotiation. There's reciprocity. Reciprocity is a really important aspect of influence because it's a simple concept of, you know, when I give you something, you feel obliged to want to give me something back. And if I give you something first and it's unexpected, then
the balance has shifted.
I get a lot, exactly, because now you feel like you owe me.
I've had two cups of tea. Do I owe you a cookie or something?
Yeah, you owe me big. Where is that? I'm on a detox.
Next time I'll bring
no cookie.
I'll bring cookies next time.
Yeah. As long as it's a
but no, that's really true because you. And here's from a positive perspective on that. I have a habit of either, you know, if I'm going to meet somebody or what have you, I have a habit of bringing. We'll just say cookies, or, you know, I just met with somebody recently and with absolute good intentions created an accomplishment jar set for them, and it no ulterior motive other than I really believe in this tool and here you go. So from a naive perspective, if you do something like that, if you bring something with you to give to the other person at the table with all good intention, they might perceive that as an attempt to influence or shift the balance of power.
They could. Most people are we're socially going to say thank you, and if it's unexpected and it's not, and it's something that shows that you knew something about them or thought about them, it is certainly going to win you an opportunity to get something back.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, it doesn't even require a gift, right?
Right.
Like, I can just give you a sincere compliment that you're not expecting and give it to you first.
You're so hot.
You are.
Sorry. Tired.
We must be tired. Yeah. Okay. But the you know, so it doesn't have to be a tangible thing. It doesn't have to be a
gift. No, I see what you're saying. But it has to be sincere flattery in order not to come across as an ulterior motive.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And when somebody gives you that, then you will feel like you owe them something back. Okay, it's just human nature.
I get it.
So that would be reciprocity. Then scarcity is one, and you were talking about it with the time concept. Scarcity is one people use a lot. So the guy or gal.
Well, I've only got 5 minutes to meet with you. Like,
yes, 5 minutes. We really chop. Yeah. You gotta be quick, or
to throw you off,
make you wait, so you feel like their time is more important than yours, and therefore, you know, you're very lucky to get any of their time. No, there's legitimate.
People have done that to me before, but I don't know if it was intentional or not.
There are legitimate reasons people.
So your
can
own
make
mind
people
games
wait.
Could get in there
they
and
could.
And create influence where it's not actually happening as well. So be aware of that.
100%. So legitimately, there are times people aren't right, you know, completely on time. So when you got in, we had some auditors just leaving, and then I needed 2 seconds.
She's not in trouble.
but he needed 2 seconds. Nothing on a time game. But on the flip side with scarcity, it could be time, but it gets used in other ways. So scarcity, other ways that people will use it is, you know, this is the last one. If you don't get it today, it's going to be more tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And there are legitimately true times that scarcity is, and it's real, and it's a very, very powerful principle.
Lululemon uses it all the time.
Do they?
There's only 1,000 of these, I don't know, pairs of pants that could put a horseshoe on your ass, and you absolutely, and we will not be producing this particular pant with this particular stripe with the horseshoe place particularly here ever again. And I did a little study on this, and there was like stampedes And it's false, because like 6 months later, oh, we happen to have a, there was such a popular demand, we've now made another 10,000 pairs of the pants with the stripes with the horseshoe in it. It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah, and see, there's a danger. So the minute you do the same thing, the danger is now people don't believe you. And so then
if they've been paying attention.
Yes, but it still speaks badly, because at the end of the day, the big challenge with scarcity is when you do that, you lose a lot of brand equity if you're not careful. So
yeah, very
now
true.
Maybe they would argue that it wasn't that it was different, but so I'm not an expert on Lululemon, so I can't go there. But I can say that it's very dangerous if you use scarcity without integrity,
especially in a win-win situation. Because if it comes out during the negotiation that this was a false statement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, negotiation is all about trust.
You break it all.
Yeah, you're hooped.
Yeah. And when you talk about a relationship within a business with a vendor, a customer, you know, and a sales rep or whatever type of business negotiation we might be doing, we're talking about something where it's paramount we're not breaking trust.
Oh, absolutely. So plus, if you're doing it within a certain industry, it's a small circle.
The world is small.
Yeah.
It's amazing
it
how fast that comes back
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
You got it.
So if we're... Go ahead, sorry.
Want me to hit another principle?
Let's jump into, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So when you're stepping into hopefully a win-win negotiation, what are some positive ways to use... Because we briefly touched on what the six principles are, but what's a positive way to use these influencing principles during a negotiation?
Yeah, it's really quite simple, actually. As long as you truly have the other person's needs and at heart, like you're really there value.
It's that would be likability?
Well, no, it actually comes back to the problem or the opportunity, believe it or not.
Right.
If I'm looking specifically on how I can get you what you want if I'm selling you. So I'm going to flip it around the other way though too, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the salesperson first. So if I'm in a relationship with a customer, I'm selling them something, as long as I'm focused on solving the problem, not a problem that I made up or I'm fabricating, but the absolute problem that they have,
mm-hmm.
and helping them to get to the outcome they need, right? Or I'm solving the opportunity for them, like mm-hmm. creating, you know, leveraging an opportunity for them, the opportunity, and getting them to that, awesome.
Right.
So the moment that I start crossing away from that, and it's just I'm trying to just sell it to you because I
add on
meet my goals,
like supersizing
or what
it?
I want, yeah, whatever. Not what's good for you, but just what's good for me. The moment I move away from that, I've stepped away from integrity, and all of the principles can be used for good or for bad.
Right.
Now let's go the other way around with the supplier, because suppliers manipulate their salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in many cases today, the suppliers, the buyers, are more trained than many of the salespeople.
To manipulate so they get the lowest rate and the highest.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of games they play. And at the end of the day, yes, you get away with it if you have a lot of power and you're a big company. But a lot of big companies with a lot of power have bankrupted a lot of companies because they just kept playing the game.
There's the Walmart Kodak story.
Oh, yes.
And it's fact.
And there's a lot of stories like that out there. And at the end of the day, the unfortunate thing is, just because somebody's buying something from you doesn't mean they're playing by a really good set of rules.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they are often the ones today, so it's more often than not, you got to be watching the person you're selling to as much as you need to be worried about integrity with the salesperson.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So
everybody's, you know, dog eat dog, if you will.
Well, you know, let's talk about it on a small level with customers.
Mm-hmm.
I met somebody through a friend of mine one day who would buy a TV or different things at Costco,
mm-hmm.
right? Use it for almost a year because they had a year change, then come in and say, oh, it doesn't fit the room or whatever.
Yeah, my eyebrow just went up because there's, I smell.
Get a new model. Right.
And do the
same
thing.
By the way, this person was highly religious and into tithing, but stole and cheated from everybody. Right. And
so for those of you that don't know,
I'm sick listening to them, and they're proud of themselves.
So hang on one second. So for those of you that don't know, tithing is where you allocate part of your earnings towards the church.
Right.
And it is usually a significant amount of your. So if you are subsidizing your tithing by ripping off other people, then I think you need to go back and visit the Bible a little bit, because something just went shit-tastic there.
Perhaps there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. They were proud of the fact that they were ripping off.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Very proud. Like, very proud of these. There were some other things that were pure, that they shared, that were pure, absolutely lacking in integrity.
Just dodgy biscuit.
Right. And I'm thinking, and you hold yourself up to be a deacon in a church? Give me a break.
Wow.
So,
and that's not to say that everybody,
not everybody's like that.
But that just happens to be an example of incongruity and inauthenticity and how those principles can be
used to the opposite, right? Anyway, so how do we get there? Because we were talking a little bit about
negative ways.
The negative ways in which we use them, right?
Yeah.
So give you another example of how even the supplier uses them in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with a company, very high integrity company, really treat their customers well, do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales rep was trying to sell this company to join their firm as one of their customers. And the customer, and this stuff happens all the time, so the customer wants a full proposal. The salesperson provides the full proposal. Now, there's a responsibility on the salesperson's side on this, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to share with you the lack of integrity around some of these principles for a second, okay? So they're holding up, the carrot. This is business, good piece of business you can get.
Yeah.
So they put in their proposal. They share intellectual property on how they could do something different for them.
Oh, no. Right? Had they protected their IP?
And they take that information and they give it to their competitor that they're already dealing with.
Oh, no.
And then they come back and they want more information and they want this and that, and it goes back again. So
because it's on good faith that they're going to get the business.
Right. So the flips and they were literally giving it, handing it, to their competitor, okay?
To do the product or service.
And this
cheaper.
Stuff happens all the time today. People have a price list. Here's what I'm paying from so and so, and they hand it to somebody else and say match it
or undercut it.
You know what? There's some integrity issues with that, because they're also handing information off, right?
Yeah.
So it is the way it gets played out there. But the point is, if you think about it, they're doing all the same things, right? So they're
using the principles of influence, but they're using it to sway the negotiation in there. So they've walked in with an ulterior motive from the get-go, which is their bottom line.
Correct. And at the end of the day, while I respect all of that, that's why business is done. At the end of the day, if there's 10 people you can do business with, are you going to choose to do business with the one that plays that way? Right?
No.
And are you going to choose to do business with somebody who is as unethical as to hand your intellectual property or your information to somebody else so that mm-hmm. they can then go and figure out how to do the same thing, right?
So the Walmart Kodak story that I referenced earlier, for those of you that might not know, is that, Kodak in its heyday was the go-to for cameras and film and everything. And when Walmart was growing, it approached Kodak to be its provider of a certain level of camera. And I have to confess, it's been a bit since I've looked at the story, but the upshot is Walmart became Kodak's biggest customer. And I think Walmart had planned to do that from the beginning. And once they realized that they had a certain percentage of Kodak's, or they were responsible, for a certain percentage of Kodak's revenue. Yeah, they turned the tables and went, if you don't drop the quality and the price point of what we purchase from you, we're canceling the contract. So imagine for a moment that, 80% of your business comes from one client. Don't ever do that if you don't have to. That's just bad juju. And then that client turns around and says, you must sacrifice your integrity. You must sacrifice this. You must do this, or we're going to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the downfall of Kodak, because the quality, everything was breaking and it wasn't what it was. They had no choice. They got ground into it.
And then on top of that, the world was changing and the world was going digital and I get the competitive pressures that companies are faced with, but there's also the reality that, sometimes you're better to walk away.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, they unfortunately, they got in, for that specific situation, they got in too deep. There was just no way. They didn't see it coming.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons that we're doing the Sneaky Ship podcast is that, you know, we've all been in situations where you didn't see it coming. You don't operate that way, so you don't look for it. I get constantly, you know, facepalming because I don't see it coming. I'm better now. I mean, I'm almost 47. So sad. And so, you know, from a sneaky perspective, this is what we're, the sneaky perspective behind the win-win is when people put you in a situation like Walmart did to Kodak, mm-hmm. where they're negotiating all the time and you think it's to your benefit, mm-hmm. but there's this hidden agenda, and, or where, you know, a salesperson sees an opportunity to upsell when they shouldn't because they're trying to influence you into, like you had said, you know, well, you've got this, you know, maybe you should actually do this.
Well, let me share, if I can, one of the principles that we didn't talk about that really feeds into this because it's very specific to it. And it really is a principle of consistency. So what happens is I went on record already. Like I said yes to something already. So I made a commitment to something.
Yeah.
And then you come back and, you know, and for me to remain consistent with that,
I'm going to say yes again.
I say yes again, and I give, so you come back for a little bit more, and it's a really good way to manipulate somebody
without them initially realizing that it's happening.
Right.
Yeah. So that win-win just became a complete win for them, and you've compromised so far that it's no longer a good thing for you.
Yeah, before you know it, you've given up your
integrity.
Your integrity, your soul, whatever, or you've now made it impossible for you to have a real win.
Yeah.
And so this is why the challenge is that I think sometimes what we don't, and it's hard to do because the world changes and things move constantly, but maybe that need to constantly know what the acid test is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I really know at the end of the day, a year from now or 6 months from now or 3 months from now, mm-hmm. how will you judge a win by dealing with me?
Mm-hmm.
And you really also care about how you're going to judge a win, you know, how I'm going to judge a win with you. If we both care about how we're going to judge if this is a successful relationship, then we're really going to strive constantly to make it a good relationship.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
But the challenge is sometimes, you know, and I'll do the big company, small company, you know, a lot of big companies today. And I'm not sure about how I feel about the integrity of it. You know, 120 days or more for you to get paid, and it's a standard that they're going with.
But it's crazy. I mean, who has that kind of?
And well, here's the challenge: how many small companies can sustain that kind of pay cycle? Right?
Not many.
Where is the integrity of it? So do you choose that you don't want to work with them? Is there a real integrity to that? That's another example, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things where you got to decide, okay, so what game am I willing to play? And it's like the people who chose not to sell to the big box stores because they said, I'm not willing to play that game. I don't want to degrade my quality. Some of them found different channels, different ways to work.
Yeah.
And some of them had to change their business model and not produce in North America and so on in order to remain competitive. And yes, the world changes, and maybe that was the right decision. But the question has to constantly be asked the task, like, how am I judging if this is a win or not? And is it the right decision?
Are my vision and mission being compromised beyond what I'm willing to? There's bending,
mm-hmm.
and then there's breaking. And
right.
I think that's where you have to. And a big motivator here, so we're gonna wrap up in a couple of minutes, but two things that you said at the very beginning, and one that I got out of what you said, is when fear is on the table for either party, that can really, so, you know, if for an example, you are the one coming to the table, trying to get in with the big boys, fear is palpable. If you come to the table and they know you're hungry and they know you're in a position that you're vulnerable, and I'm not saying BS, I'm not saying mm-hmm. walk in and be something that you aren't, but that's a powerful tool that the other side can use against you.
Yep.
So try and walk in at least with as much confidence as you can. And that's born of knowing where you stand, where you're willing to draw the line.
And when you'll walk away.
And when you're going to walk away.
It's the balance of hopes and fears, right? It's
that
balance of hopes and fears. It's interesting, though, when you talked about, you know, come in and know what you want and when you're willing
to walk
away.
That's what I was going to say here, like the secret. I got that from one of the things that you said at the very beginning. So mm-hmm. if we're going to leave people with, you know, with some key things to think about. I think the secret sauce of a successful win-win mm-hmm. is having clarity, is mm-hmm. having that knowing what you want and that focus. When you go in and waffle, you're just going to get covered in syrup. I mean, mm-hmm. because it's when you are in that unstable position that I think you'd be most at risk for the negative influences and most at risk to be manipulated.
Yes.
Because you don't know where you stand. You don't know exactly what you want. You haven't taken the time for whatever reason for that particular situation to do the research and be sure of what you're doing. And you put yourself, you give that person leverage before you even realize it.
And you know the funniest thing, just a key thought that I'd like to share is that at the end of the day, you lose so much when you don't go into something with a really true win-win, because we will all do more for each other
than we'll do for ourselves.
We'll do more for each other though when it's a good positive relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're working with somebody either way, customer or salesperson, if you're working with somebody and they treat you well, you do more hoops. But when you start to feel you've been taken advantage of and somewhere along the line you're going to step back and go, whoa, this became very unbalanced.
This is painful now.
This is painful. It's not balanced. It's not feeling good. Then you stop jumping through those hoops.
Yeah.
You got it.
So we're gonna wrap up. And we've covered a lot today. So I'm just gonna go through some of the key points that we've addressed. So win-win is in particular, it doesn't have to be big. It can be as simple as, you know, what coffee maker are we gonna get for the office? And somebody might want one of those big fancy copper espresso things and it's not reasonable. Compromise is a necessary part of negotiation, but that has to be balanced with achieving your goal. And I think every negotiation has to have compromise. It's when somebody takes advantage of that and one side is compromising way too much. So, you know, be aware and walk in that you are both looking to solve a problem. From a salesperson perspective, your problem is you have to meet your quota. You have a job to do as far as selling product. From a vendor's perspective, you need whatever that person is selling you, but you also have to be cost conscious of your bottom line and how that product or service is going to fit into your offerings.
Can I just tweak that a bit though?
Tweak away.
But I want the salesperson to always be centered on solving the customer's problem. Or
true, opinion. True.
Because
but
if they get focused on selling for themselves, they might sell and they might sell against when they should sell.
True. So that was covered in the, I agree with you 100%,
yes,
but it's always there, you know, regardless of
100%.
Yeah, it's always there. We always have something that we have to accomplish. It's how we're willing to get there that I think...
So essential.
Is the, yeah.
Absolutely.
So the ultimate goal in a win-win, using the principles in a positive way, is to come out with an equitable solution that nobody feels maligned or taken advantage of. And some of the things to look for is your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hungry. Something is wrong.
Yep.
How many times have you had to say yes and the other person is benefiting and you're not?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had to compromise your integrity? And by integrity, not necessarily your personal honor, but the integrity of your product or service. How many mm-hmm. times have you had to lower your standards or change something to maintain that relationship? You need to be willing to put a line in the sand. And if somebody's using manipulative tactics before you've even sat down at the table, that should tell you something. There should be a warning bell there. And you're absolutely right that legitimately sometimes people run late. But when your gut says, well, wait a second,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if a meeting's getting consistently rescheduled last minute or whatever, I'm sorry, but after a bit, that's BS. And somebody's just yanking your chain. One reschedule is fine. If you're at a third reschedule, mm-hmm. walk away because they're just hooping you. And I think above all, is walking into any negotiation with a clarity of purpose, with understanding what, and not in the negative way, but what you want to achieve out of this,
mm-hmm.
and being willing to give a certain amount. If you hardline it no matter what, nobody's going to win because nobody mm-hmm. ever walks in and it's the perfect solution on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Peter Drucker says, look for opportunity, unexpected success, because during a negotiation,
mm-hmm.
you may find that, you know, you may have walked in with one purpose, but something else has come up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and be open to that.
Yep.
But if it, you know, like that whole quack like a duck situation, if it feels wrong, it's probably wrong. Walk in with trust and be willing to trust, but just be aware that there are tactics out there that you should watch for, that your win-win just became a... I was going to use a bad example, so I can't think of anything right now. I was going to...
Can I tell you a quick story that'll wrap it up really nicely, too?
You got like 30 seconds, Missy.
Well, one of my clients today shared shared an analogy or a story from It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart's character shakes Potter's hand when he's being convinced of, you know, this great amount of money, and he's a great, you know, you're a smart man, and, you know, you deserve to have more and be able to travel and do all the things you want to do with your wife. And
yeah.
And he's shaking his hand with the deal. And just as he shakes his hand that, you know, that he's going to take this job with all this money and all this promise of all the things
he
wants.
You see the light bulb go off.
The light bulb goes off, and he looks at his hand like it's dirty, and he's like, what am I doing? I don't need to think about it, right? I don't want your money end, right?
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is, if your hand doesn't feel good, it feels dirty when you shake on it, or you feel
something's
dirty,
wrong, something's go get some wrong. Purell.
Exactly. And out of there.
Some Principal Purell.
Exactly. I like
that's
it.
That's a product.
A new product.
A new product. So I'm stealing the microphone from Marguerite a little bit here. So thank you very much for joining us today. And we've gone on a bit, but this has just been such a great jam-packed session on win-win and using the principles in a positive way. And I hope next time, you know, anybody in business has to go into a negotiation, whether it's asking for a vacation, whether it's asking for a raise, whether it's, you know, setting a contract, sales, you're always in it. And, you know, learn about the principles of influence and the positive way you can use them. You know, be aware of the ways you might be unintentionally using them negatively. And if you're intentionally using them negatively, well, you just suck.
That's true.
You know, that's there's I could use other bad language, but
go find something else to do with your life.
Yeah, you know, like,
exactly.
I don't know if you just intentionally hooping people over. Well, I hope karma gets you.
Exactly.
That's all I just hope at some point somebody bigger than you figures it out
sooner than later.
Something. But anyway, thank you so much. And next time we will be going into. Not at someone else's expense, which I think ties into the win-win, but there may be more to that.
Yep.
And then we will be wrapping up with body language, which is, I just did a fascinating workshop on body language, which was super funny.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And so cool. Thank you very much. We will talk to you soon. Have a great day. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.